What is up?
Hey.
I forgot. Hey, Momo, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're filling in for Cap today. We'll get a mic, live mic in front of you soon. By the way, I forgot to read this. I never read it at the right time. Sorry, Jacob and Ronnie. Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. We were talking, Momo, about being on a plane. You spent a lot of time on a plane.
Yeah.
And watching
frequent flyer.
Some sort of questionable material. Like Brian was watching Beverly Hills Cop and there were strippers in it.
I've forgotten that in that scene is actual nudity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not edited for the flight. It's the movie.
So I watched most of Game of Thrones, it feels like, on a plane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For some reason, I was in a period where I was flying a lot and I took Game of Thrones with me. And it is a violent, people are like losing their heads, getting stabbed. There is sex between
all sorts of
people. And you feel like self-conscious, like who else is looking at this? Like, is there a kid behind me? Is there a puritanical
nun
behind me? Exactly.
I mean, at least you usually have a headset on, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's no sound.
No, there's no sound, but the picture.
But it's happened. Yeah, like we've all done it. Like you're watching an adult show on one of these planes, and like,
hey, that's somebody.
Like
butt.
if you pulled up the queue, because this wasn't my choice. This is just Delta's available.
It was their movie.
This was their movie. Would you, if it was listed as one of their movies, would you watch Eyes Wide Shut?
Oh.
It's Kubrick.
Oh, yeah.
It's Tom Cruise. It's a legitimate movie.
Nicole Kidman.
Yep. I mean, like, this is a real movie with tremendous amounts of nudity, but Delta put it as an option.
Yeah.
You didn't, people say, would you watch it? Would you be uncomfortable watching a movie with that much nudity on an airplane?
I mean, I probably would. Again, because I'd have to, before I do that, I would have to see, are there any kids around me, right?
Yeah.
If there's no kids near me, then maybe I'd watch it. Sure. If it's just adults, who cares?
Yeah. If it's just, plus Eyes Wide Shut is a great movie. I actually have a good Eyes
Wide
Shut.
Do you tap the guy next to you? Hey, do you mind if I watch this orgy movie real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool with you?
You have a good Eyes Wide Shut story?
I have a good Eyes Wide Shut story. So I was working in New York when that movie came out in 99, 2000, 2001.
That's a good story.
So I watched that movie and loved that movie. And I don't know if you remember this, but there are a lot of people that hated that movie.
Yeah.
It was absolute garbage. And I defended that movie. It became a thing because I loved the movie and I love Stanley Kubrick and I talked about it a lot. So about 3 months later, I got a letter from Stanley Kubrick's brother. He had passed away. He was not alive when the movie got released.
That's true.
And I got a letter from his brother thanking me for standing up for Eyes Wide Shut so often. So I heard from Stanley Kubrick's brother. I think it's a great movie. It was a big
a good movie.
It was a big LZ.
With the morning show, when I was there, it was it started there. It was like, we did an Eyes Wide Shut party. I don't even know how we went down that path, but
did
on
you
that
put
show,
on masks and all that stuff?
Do it, but the studio LZ would. And we actually got I'll never forget this because Woj had just come to ESPN and Chris had him record a liner for our show that said, hey, this is Woj, you're listening to Keyshawn, George, and LZ. And he goes, and LZ, I'm hoping to get that invite to your famous party.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It might still be in the system somewhere.
Wow.
But it was hilarious. It was like the first month he was here at ESPN, and it was really, really
Woj
funny.
Woj has a much better sense of humor than people give him credit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like, he really does. I was actually, like, literally just talking to him because we've been working on this Warrior
story. Right, you co-write a lot. Like, didn't you break that thing about the investigation?
Yeah, we were like
Momo's kind of a big deal still.
Yeah. She is a big deal. I know it.
I was talking to him just now. I think I can say this. This is okay. I was talking to him just now, and he was in New York, and he was outside of Madison Square Garden. He called before he was about to get on the train, and he was I don't know if he was about to get on a train or get on Uber, but like he was standing in a very public area, and I could hear people around him like start to recognize him.
Right.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you better go. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm getting recognized. I better get out of here. Like,
yeah.
Like, because literally, like, think about. People can listen to these very proprietary conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you want to know what's going on, like, whenever I do an interview,
I
always check who's sitting next to me in the restaurant. I always check to
100%.
Sure, like, no one has a camera phone out.
Right.
No one's
recording.
Yeah, I had these headphones are really weird to me. They're like noise-canceling headphones or something.
They are, yeah.
I had one day I had a lunch with a friend of mine in New York, and she is a... an incredible writer in a totally different genre, not a sports writer, but like sports and all that.
Right.
And we were swapping stories. She was talking about her area of expertise. I was talking about my areas. It was like two writers just slinging stories.
Yes.
Right? And at one point, she gets up to go to the bathroom. And some guy who had been sitting about where you are from me in the studio, mm-hmm. maybe like 8 feet away, turns to me and says to me, "I just want you to know I have thoroughly enjoyed y'all's conversation."
Oh,
wow.
Are you like a sports writer or something? Or you like know some famous people, huh? And I was like.
So he heard the whole thing.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And I like was. I mean, my like, that's like an instant panic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, is this bite guy been like recording me?
Right.
Does he have a cell phone out?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was close enough to, if he was recording, to catch all of it.
Okay, so I got a question for you. That leads to an interesting question. So you're having private conversations and slinging stories.
Yeah.
And this goes for you too, Susanna.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you know that you can't say?
Oh, man. That's, I mean, if I'm being honest,
yeah,
85, 90%.
Of what you know you cannot say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Would you agree? Maybe 75, depends on the subject.
I would phrase it like that. I don't think it's about what you know that you can't say. I think there's a lot of stuff that we think or that we've heard. But it's
not 100% confirmed,
right?
Yeah, like you tell me, or things that you've
seen. But you know, there are things that come up that you've seen that just aren't for public consumption.
But there's a lot of people like who say, "Well, I heard da 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 da," and it's a little rumor that goes around. A good example of this is the Ime Udoka story,
right?
Okay? There's this story about the Ring doorbell.
Is Ireland here?
No. I was just gonna say, is Ireland joined the show all of a sudden?
No, I know. Okay, I'm giving you. Okay.
Yeah, you're giving us background. That's okay.
And there's all these stories. And as a reporter, like, we've heard all of the stories about who the person is, how did they find out, what did her husband do when they found out. I mean, yeah, like, right, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that stuff I know, or is that stuff I've heard?
Right.
And the burden of actually reporting it is way higher.
Right. So in other words, it's kind of like in legal terms, it's hearsay.
But I would say in sports, though, the hearsay, a lot of it is fairly accurate.
Oh, yeah. Sedona, wait, hold on. Let me give you the best tease ever.
Okay.
About 4 years ago, Sedona told me a story about an NBA superstar. don't worry. I know how to handle this.
I know you know.
About an NBA superstar who got into a situation
Mason.
That he needed.
Can I buzz in?
No.
That he needed someone to help him bail out of. Okay?
Yeah.
And this superstar has been, like, when you see what's happened with the superstar since you told me the story,
yeah.
I always go back to this fishy story that Sedano told me from 4 years ago,
yep.
And it casts everything in a completely different light.
Wow. But it now makes a ton of sense.
It now makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. Did you have the story cold, or was it hearsay?
It was told to me by someone I've been childhood friends with who witnessed it.
Yes.
So this is like someone that literally I have been friends with for 30 years.
Wow.
Has access to a lot of the entertainment world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And has told me a million stories about
entertainers. And you know what? And here's the thing as a reporter, okay? That is an incredible story that George Sedano told me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have tried to confirm this story.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, in the way that a reporter would confirm it.
Yeah. Reportery.
One day I will confirm this
story.
You will. I know it. One day I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And there is other stories.
Because I bet you there are people that know the story that will not confirm it to you.
Do you think there's anybody listening right now?
No. No, not here. This is not
an LA story.
Not at all.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, so here's another, like, the story that, and the reason I have such faith in this is that, do you remember a couple years ago when I had a story about Kawhi Leonard trying, like, Russell Westbrook calling Kawhi Leonard saying, "Let's team up together."
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then Kawhi basically was like, "Yeah, that's cool, man." But then he actually wanted to team up with Paul George.
Right.
And then that's how that whole thing gets set in motion. Because in a way, then that's how Paul George realized that Russell Westbrook wanted out.
Right.
And he didn't want to get stuck there.
Right.
Okay. So that sets this whole thing. And when I first heard this story, I was like, no, really?
No way that happened that way.
But, like, you just keep at it. And then eventually things fell into place where everybody just said, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And you had enough people on all the different sides where they said, yeah, that's what happened.
Wow.
And I finally wrote it.
Yeah.
It took like 3 years to report, but like one day I'm going to report that story,
yeah.
George.
Yeah.
I think that eventually one day one of those people you have spoken to about that story will finally confirm it to you when it's way past
like it's an impossible
statute
story.
Of limitations.
Yeah.
You guys are in the league, right? You guys are in the league.
But do we know it's true? No.
I don't
do we
know
think
100%.
It's true?
Would you tell me off the air what it is? I would never repeat it.
But yes,
would you tell me off the air what it is?
Off the air, I would tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
that's coming up.
It's crazy.
Because now it's killing me.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Mason and Ireland show. Coming up, an extended version.
But by the way, when I called Momo, because every time I find out one of these little nuggets, and it's NBA related, she's the first call I make.
You have a decent batting average.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of passing a lot, like, you and John both call me with things like this.
Mm-hmm.
You never call me with things like this. Why don't you call me with things like this, Brian?
I don't do this anymore, really. But
okay. Back
when I did, I would always go to people like you. Because people.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't report the same way
but
you
But it's also
did.
Not my business. Like, my my reporting business is on camera, on TV, at a game. What's happening at that game? I am not. So when I have anything that's NBA related, I always call her first.
I've never
been, here's what I'm hearing. You guys figure it
and
out.
And that's part of it. It's like there's a different, like, I was never breaking news. Not only have I never, like, I don't like.
Yeah,
I
don't know. Like it's the most stressful.
I
would never
like what. I don't like what Ramona does.
How do you do it, Momo?
I would never. No,
I would not Mason would love the fame that comes with
it.
Mason would love being on the corner of Madison Square Garden.
I would not want the pressure.
Okay, wait.
Momo, you and I once did a story together.
We did.
But, and I, it was a nightmare.
You didn't sleep for a week,
I could not sleep for a week. What you would love,
what Steve wants is the ability to know things that other people don't.
No, and he would want the Penn Station, Madison Square Garden, Woe just talking to Ramona saying, people are recognizing me, I gotta go. That's what Mason wants.
No, I could hear it.
Yeah.
Like, I could hear them. Yeah. Like, people were saying, I was like, you're getting recognized. Huh?
Yeah,
like, I mean, it was.
But here's the thing. God, you know, I.
But the newsbreaker business, no
thing. What Woj does and what Schefter does.
And what Ramona does.
Yeah.
Not as much as Woj,
But everybody. It's got to be so much pressure
exhausting.
To get this thing first. And then I would always be nervous that I get it and then I put it out and then somehow it's not right. And then I'm nervous about the news that I put out.
Yeah.
Even if somebody tells you something 100% stone cold, this is what's happening, you're still,
nervous.
As you're typing the words, you're still nervous.
Yeah, I imagine
also because news can change, context can change, but I was always asking people, and still do, but tell me about this thing that happened. Tell me about why did this work out this way. It's a whole different, so like, if I ever had stuff, like the weirdest thing that once happened to me was an athlete's ex, or one, I guess, either almost ex-wife or trying to be ex-wife, sent me a gigantic packet of stuff.
Really?
That this guy, I don't know why. I don't know why.
A packet of stuff, like incriminating stuff?
Kind of like, you know.
Shady stuff? Sketchy stuff?
Basically like things that she would use in a divorce.
Oh.
And I had zero idea what to do with it.
Give it to Ramona.
Essentially nothing is the
Why didn't
the
you call me?
Yeah, you should have called Ramona.
I'll ask you. I mean, you can tell me if you really
All right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
We're
that's true. Sometimes stuff is like really gross, yeah.
We're going to have a big conversation.
I don't want to get into this guy's domestic dispute.
But to your point, Ramona, I had lunch with a buddy of mine who works at a different place. And we were slinging stories about sports and broadcasting. And all of a sudden, I realized, thankfully, there was no one around us that you like. It was like a mom with some kids or whatever. But I looked at him and I said, "We should probably lower our tone just a little bit."
Like honestly, like every single. I mean, I meet with coaches and executives all the time, and you try to go to like really nondescript places.
Yeah.
And like, here's a how do I change the names here? Okay. Like
Flevin
Barrant. Like, there's a couple spots that I know near the practice facilities of each of our local teams that will, like, take care of it, right? They'll give us a table in the back. They'll
go on the side.
Trying to speak easy.
Right, there was a place by the Laker facility that I went to, and I was like, hey, can we have that booth outside where there's no other tables? Mm-hmm. You know, like, because people are, like, it's like real, like, you kind of have to be very
Spycraft.
Aware of who's around.
So, you know, when I do most of my calls is when I call Momo all the time. I'm always hiking.
Yes.
Because I know there's no
one
on
around.
A trail by myself.
Yeah.
No one is, that's when I usually call people
that's
for that
smart.
Stuff.
Yeah. And then here's the other one. Okay, like, this one I can name names.
Yeah.
I was doing an interview with Kobe, and it was like this. We were going to have a long interview.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no, there's. Kobe Altman. Yeah. I mean, what?
Again, this is why I'm only here.
Kobe Carl.
No, like, just for clarity.
It was his last year, and we were going to do one last big story.
Right.
And it was I wanted to pick a city where he was not going to go out or do anything. He didn't have any other. So we settled on like Memphis, and he was mostly going to be in the hotel. And I got lucky, and then it was a super rainy day. So there was, even if he had wanted to go someplace, he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Okay, we pick but I don't know any restaurant there.
Right.
So I had to call and I had to say, hey, listen, I need a table, and I'm going to be there with somebody who's fairly famous, and I just need to have some privacy. Can you arrange that?
Yeah.
And the guy was kind of like asking me who it was.
Right.
And I was like, no, this is not the right place. Like, I can't tell you who it is. If I tell you who it is, you're going to tip people off, and then there's going to be a crowd of people outside.
Right. Thing.
Like, the best restaurants are like, okay, ma'am, no problem. I can handle that.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, this is the right place.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
did you find a place in Memphis?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Famous people have, I mean, this is.
It's a hard life for them. I'm not famous like that.
It's a weird life, right? So I had dinner with, I'm going to heavy name drop here.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. With.
Cranston.
Colin Farrell and Bryan Cranston.
Oh, there you go.
And the weird thing was we were at a table and they made sure they were facing their backs.
Yeah.
They had to have their backs to the door.
That's
so that nobody really noticed. They still noticed, but noticed who they are.
Right. Yeah.
But I actually have some not sympathy.
I do too.
Empathy.
Empathy.
Yeah.
That sucks. Like, you can't go anywhere without always worrying. Like, I only know what it feels like when I'm with them for like the 20 or 30 minutes it's going to take to do the interview.
Yeah.
Right.
Or an hour or whatever.
What
it is,
I think
you know?
Is weirder too, it's like you guys, like, you're protecting information. The stuff that's always been strange to me is like, when you have you're doing a long form interview with somebody, you spend hours with them.
Yeah.
Or like, you go to dinner with somebody, you sit down, and you start to sort of see who the people are as people most of the time. It's actually really great, but every once in a while you learn things about people that are just like, gosh, like, this guy's either, you know, this person, you know, really kind of sucks, they're weird as all get out, they have some strange beliefs that I can't talk about, it
right,
but
sure.
Like, wow, this person is odd.
On that note,
yeah,
I want to
you want to know the story?
Yeah, no, so I want to ask you guys a question. Legit question.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got a big weekend. I'm going to the USC game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow,
big game,
Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State.
The Cougars are good.
Legit, I said I would not lay the 13. I would not lay the 13 and a half.
I wouldn't either. I would be cautious and just watch the game.
What is the percentage chance that I come in Monday 2-0?
I would say probably like 65%.
Yeah, everybody's right in that zone. 65 to 75%. What do you think, Boma?
2-0. I think USC is going to win.
Yep.
I don't know about the Rams. I'm worried about their offensive
line.
The Rams are a big portion, the tough part.
I'm oddly comfortable.
I actually think the Rams are going to win that game.
Yeah.
Laura says to break.
So that's what we will do.
All right.
I need some stories. I got to get some stories.
Yeah. We only got 2 minutes.
Was that a good tease?
Yeah, it was a great tease.
Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. They always bring you super crosstalk here. Coming up next for you is Shadano with Momo. We're back. Ireland's back from Vegas. Me and Ireland Monday at 1:00 with the football weekend in the books. Mason and Ireland. 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I gotta do this. Da 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 da. Beep ba da boop.
I'm gonna leave that for you.
Ba ba da ba. It's fun if you want to do it.
It is.
Boom ba dum boom. Bing boom boom. There you go, Momo.
I got you. I need like a real, like, the air guitar doesn't play on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of all theater of the mind. This mother bleeper.
What?
Cappy. This mother bleeper. He's selling our bits for another show, and he's making all the money off of this.
Do we get royalties?
We should.
I'm going to sue him.
You should.
You should.
I'm gonna. We need to call Jacob and Ronnie, and I want to find out if I have a case here.
No, you don't. It's public domain. Like, you could actually have a listener do that and make all the money off of it. It's the same thing.
Shh, don't tell him that, Ramona.
Yeah, don't. He's not smart enough to figure that out.
It's called intellectual property, yeah. And once it enters the public domain, am I just like a wet blanket over here?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Don't tell him. He's not smart enough. But nonetheless, what the hell? First of all, just the, even if it's not unlawful, it's deceitful.
Can I speak? Because I'm in the tribe, okay? Yeah. We're both Jewish. Like, you know, we can use some Yiddish words
You and
here.
Him, yes.
Yeah, Zimi and Sky Kaplan. Yeah. It's called chutzpah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of chutzpah.
He's got a little chutzpah to do this, okay? Chutzpah means a little nerve, right?
Yeah.
It's also not kosher.
No, it's not. It's completely opposite of kosher, actually.
We can't wear that shirt. Like, we can't wear a shirt that says, like, Kaplan and Crew logo on it.
Yeah.
You know?
What the hell?
Now do we have to listen to see if he's using other catchphrases and stuff?
That's what I ask. Mm. I feel like he's probably recycling our bits over there.
We should assign that to somebody.
Yeah. Here's a question, though.
Yeah.
How many t-shirts is he really selling?
I bet he sold a lot to our community.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put it in the circle of trust.
He posted it in the circle of trust.
And all these people, what he did, like Morrell said in the open, was he was smart. First, he teased it by just dropping the picture of the shirt. Then all these people are like, that's a great shirt. I want that. Yeah. And then he dropped the link.
Yeah, a link with a 15% off discount to boot.
Yep. A 15% off discount.
But for today only.
Okay, but now I get it. You know how he was dropping like, oh, you want a sided hat? Yeah. You want a sided shirt? Yeah. I got you. Give me your... Yeah. Now it's like
he's got his own database.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were free. The sided hats were free.
Yeah, I know they were. But then people thought this one was going to be too. He's like, nah.
I got you.
I
got to
pay. He hooked you.
He hooked, line, and sinker. But he stole our bit to sell it with his other show.
Mm-hmm. He has no shame.
None. It is also on brand, though, completely, I feel like.
It's kind of smart, too.
No? Yeah.
You know, we should feel a little...
smart, too. Yeah.
A little, I don't know what the word is right now. But
deceitful, but smart, both at the same time.
You kind of got to respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I mean, it takes a lot of chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
Right? It's a good word. Learn it.
It is a great word.
I don't know how to spell it, but you just say it.
I think
you say it like you got something caught in your throat.
C-H-U-T-Z-P-A, sounds right?
It sounds chutzpah. Right. Yeah. But you say it like you got something in your, like you're clearing your, there you go. You got it. Like you're clear. Yeah. So like when I was studying for my bat mitzvah, like Hebrew is a fun language. Okay?
Yeah.
There's all these letters that are, that sound like you got a cold. So you'd be like, ha, ha, chi, ho, chi, like that. And like when you're 12 and you're practicing for your bat mitzvah, like this is just the funniest thing ever to learn.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look, I think Cappy has too much chutzpah. Yeah.
Should be flattered. He's using our stuff in the other show. Yeah. Should say something.
Well, those
other
guys, I wonder if he's cutting out the other guys on his Cappy cast.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
And at the very least, you think that he would like come to us and be like, hey, we need to make this a shirt and like sell it and have us be like, no, we can't do that or whatever. But he didn't even say anything to us first. He totally blindsided us with this one.
And I would have never found out had Lindsay not called me to tell me about it.
Shh, don't expose that part.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Yes, you would have seen it.
I would have seen it eventually.
It was in the community.
Yeah, I was just in the car at the time. But anyway.
It was funny.
Momo, you look like you've
I'm
got
I'm trying to look for it.
Oh, it's in, it's in the community. So, enough of Cappy and his shenanigans. I got a little fact or fiction for you. Fact or fiction Friday. I feel like we can have some fun with this today.
Yeah, why not?
Draymond Green will be suspended for punching Jordan Poole. Remember, initially, we'll handle this internally was the verbiage that was used.
I have to think it through. How do I think this is going to play out? I think it is going to not happen.
Like no suspension?
Yeah.
Wow. I think with the video now,
I know,
people are going to be like,
listen,
what the hell?
When I saw the video, I thought the same thing.
Yeah. That was extra. It was extra.
I mean, that was a sucker punch. That was bad.
Yeah.
You know it's interesting because I like to think of things like in how they happen. I like to think through the chronology because so much of how we learn about stories and how we deal with the news is what order we heard it in.
Yeah.
Like, did you hear it on Twitter? Did you hear it? Did you read a whole story? Did you see a video? And what order did you see the video first before you saw the press conference? Did you read the story first? Did you read the Chris Haynes tweet about, oh, he's been popping off and he's going to get it accepted, whatever. Yeah. Like, how does your understanding of a story become
where does
shaped
it begin?
When did you come into the story?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you had just watched the press conference yesterday without the background of the video, right, you would have thought, oh, wow, okay, this was like serious to have the three main decision makers, the three main faces of that organization get out there and do a press conference. I mean, I thought just even the level of having those three guys, Bob Meyer, the GM, the president, and the coach, and Steph Curry face the camera. I was like, whoa, this is maybe more serious than we thought.
Right.
Like, I had been told it was bad that Draymond lost it and whatever it was, but it was sort of like a practice fight. He threw a punch. It was bad.
That happens in practice.
It happens, you know. And
I'm sure if we saw Michael Jordan punch Steve Kerr,
it would have looked bad.
We would have looked just as bad.
And so then I saw the press conference. And I was like, okay, that's probably the end of it. I mean, I'm sure Jordan Poole's upset and all that. But and then you saw the video. Now, if the video had come out before the press conference, I don't think they even have that press conference. I think they do it very differently.
Right.
But you also know that everybody who had the press conference was either in the gym and saw the punch live.
Right.
Has seen the video.
Yeah.
And when they were talking, now you can see why they were as serious as they were. Like, a lot of the things they were saying were like, it's not good. You hate to see it happen. You know? So this video wasn't a surprise to them.
No.
It was only a surprise to those of us, the people in the public.
It was probably a surprise that it leaked, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're really mad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
So I have a theory.
Okay.
Chase Center employee. That's my theory.
That could be.
Lots of monitors in that building.
Right. And that's that. A lot of people think, oh, just, you know, it's the video intern or something like that.
No.
There are a lot of people in a building when a team is practicing.
Yeah.
There's vendors, there's employees,
right?
There's...
The vendors is a good one. I didn't think of that one either.
Anybody and they works just
could
at be the restaurants.
Coming in, bringing the food in early because they prep all that stuff early during the day. Yeah. It could... Chase Center employee, vendor. It could be random person that you would never think of from a basketball perspective.
Could be somebody who just has access to the closed circuit, TV.
Right. Because it's clearly off a monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's clearly off a monitor.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily somebody, it's not the raw video feed.
No. So that's my hot take, is that it's not someone in the organization.
I mean, whoever it is.
What level of heat is that right now? Like, if five was scorching. And like one is like, nah,
it's not. Five. That's pretty hot.
Yeah?
I mean, look, that is, if it's somebody in the organization, that is a major violation of trust.
Right.
Like, that is, you know, there's a lot of things that, like, we all in the public think that there's a right to know, and it's our job as journalists to go dig and find out how bad things are. But if you're on the other side of it, it's your job within the organization to close ranks.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless or not of how you feel about the incident, like, if I'm Jordan Poole, I'm kind of mad at leak too.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he, you know, who wants
it
to...
He doesn't look good in it either.
No, he looks like he got clocked.
Right.
Who wants to see somebody get hit like that? I mean, it's not a UFC fight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm mad. It's probably like pride-wise even.
For sure. That's only human.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to see myself get... Plus, I'm probably still mad I got hit.
Right. Right. There's no question you're still mad you got hit.
Yeah. So, like, to me, like, I've never... Have you ever been hit? Has anybody ever hit you before, like, punched you?
Yeah. I used to do martial arts for years.
Like, okay, but that's in a
fight. No. Like, legit... Yeah, but I'm saying I've been in real fights, too, on top of that.
Like, real fights where somebody's mad at you.
Yeah.
And they're trying to settle a score. What did you do to precipitate this? Or did you precipitate... Or you just caught in the wrong place?
I just caught in the wrong place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you mad? Or were you, like, scared?
I think if you're in a real fight.
Yeah, a real fight.
The adrenaline is pumping so hard.
Right.
That you don't have time to get mad. You're just like reacting.
Right.
I think later on, you're probably mad if you did take a punch or whatever. Yeah. Like, man, that hurt. Like, mother bleeper. I can't believe that happened or whatever. Yeah. But like, that would be my reaction.
Have you ever been so mad that you would throw a punch at somebody?
No, I'm very restrained in that sense. I've never thrown a punch like randomly like that.
Yeah.
No.
I've been mad enough to throw a punch, but I didn't actually do it.
Oh, okay. I've been mad enough to throw a punch, but I've shown enough restraint to not do it.
I actually did throw a punch when I was in elementary school. This one kid.
So did Lindsay.
Yeah, I did.
I was in high school.
Oh, high school.
Whoa, okay.
A couple times.
She cold clocked a kid and knocked his ass out.
He probably deserved it.
He did deserve it. Totally deserved it.
What happened?
Long story short, he was trying to hit on me, and I said no. He was relentless. So then he got mad and started spitting spitballs at me in class. Oh. So then at lunchtime, I went up to him, and I poured chocolate milk over his head, and he turned around like he wanted to fight me, and so I punched him in the face.
Okay. That sounds
totally reasonable.
Warranted. Yeah, totally reasonable. Yeah. I get that. mine was, I was in, I think, like, third or fourth grade. We were doing an art project, and it was, like, a ceramic thing where you know, whatever, just some clay or whatever. And we had spent like a week, some mud, literally. Some kid, I don't know, like, you know when boys used to like you, they would, like, do mean things to you? Like,
for sure.
They didn't know how to show that they liked you?
Yeah.
And it's, like, third, fourth grade. So this kid, like, takes my art project, the ceramic thing that I'd worked on all week, and he, like, drops it right in front of me, and he's like, ha ha.
like a Milhouse?
Yeah. Like breaks in, like laughs, and like, and I was like, man, I just punched him right in the stomach.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that. What was the guy's name?
John.
Sean?
John. I don't remember his last name.
Yeah.
John something. I can see
he remembers you,
like.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He was just kind of this big pudgy kid, and I got him right in the belly.
Oh, wow. John definitely remembers that. There's no question about that. All right, coming up next, everyone is going nuts in the NBA, and it's not just about Draymond. We'll tell you what and why next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Oh, it's a great song by Janet.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This was like the mix of my like junior high, high school era.
Yeah.
Right?
Junior high for me for sure. Maybe high school now. What year was it, did he say?
Stand by. It was 1997. Nope, that was not it. 1989.
Oh, 89. Yeah. Definitely junior high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like two.
I was one.
Great song, though.
We're old, but it's okay. I embraced it, unlike Cappy. He goes, why am I the old guy? How did I become the old guy?
Because you are, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You are. Right. I mean.
Yeah, he's the old guy.
I'm kind of I'm not the old lady, but I definitely feel like the veteran now.
Veterana.
like I'm not quite into like, I'm not going to name names. I'm not quite in dessert.
Don't do that.
Let me think that one through.
Yeah.
I'm not quite in that gray-haired, been around the block a million times, right? Like, but I definitely feel like we had an NBA summit for all the reporters for ESPN. They all came in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the room and I was like, ooh.
You young.
You guys are young.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm in my early 40s.
Yeah. That has happened to me now.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And I'm like, are you guys like late 20s?
Yeah.
Mid 20s?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That has happened to me now
too.
Like, it's, I was the young person.
Me too, forever.
In the NBA circles.
And then you weren't.
On TV. Me and Cassidy were kind of like the youngest ones.
Yeah.
And then now there's younger people.
Yeah, now you're not.
Yeah, now we're the vets.
Yeah, now it's Roz Gold and Monica McNutt.
They're the young ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for them.
Up and comers.
Exactly.
Which means that you already went up.
And I'm here somewhere.
You're here.
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, so a couple of things on the Sedano and Cap community, the Circle of Trust. JC says, not sure if Draymond's incident technically qualifies as a sucker punch. Poole did shove him first. After all the barking from Draymond. So I guess, he was staring at him. They were looking at each other.
Yeah, but he was in his space.
He cold cocked him, is what I would say. He didn't expect it.
Look, there was a shove, But Draymond was like,
he was
like
in his space.
They were yelling. Yeah. Draymond gets up in Jordan Poole's space. Jordan pushes him to get out of his space.
But I think the exception to sucker punches, you're not seeing it coming.
Yeah, sucker punch is like from behind.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's all it is.
Yeah. But he definitely lunged at him.
Yeah, he totally
covered
did.
A lot of ground.
So, LAOC Cards tweets us in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust, says on Cappy, lots of mishigas.
Yes, another good Yiddish word.
Yeah?
Mishigas.
Yeah. What does mishigas mean?
Mishigas means, what can I say? How do I define it? A bunch of baloney. Like, it's a bunch of
He's full of mishigas. There's
no full
question.
Of mishigas.
Right?
I was going to use another four-letter word.
He's all mishigas.
I've never heard mishigas.
Oh, it's a great word.
But full of baloney. That's
baloney. Yeah. He's okay. full of
beans.
Yeah.
Mishigas.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
Let me see if I can find a good translation for
okay.
you. Every translation that came to mind is a four-letter word.
Okay. No,
but bologna's,
my grandma said beans. My grandma would say, full of beans. You're full of beans.
I feel it, Maman. I wish I could say the word, too.
Yeah, let me see if I can find, like, okay. The dictionary.com or vocabulary.com says, mishigas is a craziness of senseless behavior.
Yeah, that's him. He's full of that. So, now, everyone's gone crazy, and I don't know if they'll have senseless behavior about Victor Wembanyama. But man, so look, I got in on the, so you know who told me about him was our draft guy, Jonathan Givony. Yeah. He's like, you got to see this kid, this French kid. And Mike Schmitz, who no longer works here, also clued me in before he left to Portland because he used to live here in LA.
Yeah.
I would occasionally run into him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to see Wembanyama. You're going to freak out. And I started watching him on YouTube. I was like, whoa, like this is like Giannis,
same.
But even bigger.
Yeah.
Right. Longer. And then now everyone has gotten to see him this week, whether it's watching the game on ESPN2 or now on the video clips. And everyone is.
Whoa.
Yeah. And by the way, I feel like there are NBA teams.
Yes.
Just from what I gather, that also are more surprised by seeing him in person.
So I have heard it the same. Like, we've all heard these names. Like, you remember when Luka Doncic was a name that we all heard, right?
Yeah.
You would hear Porzingis. Actually, not so much Porzingis.
But Luka for sure.
Luka for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of skepticism that you have with foreign players, like, oh, how would they do against real top flight competition?
Right.
And even all the draft guys.
Even with Luka, because he fell to three.
Listen,
he played in Spain, which is the second toughest league in the world.
And I had a really well respected NBA talent evaluators say to me, I don't know if he can get by people. Like, I've seen him play, but I don't know if he can get by people.
Right.
Like, that was, even then, there was a skepticism. And every time I would bring it up to our draft guys, they would say, yes, but he was the MVP of the Spanish league. Like, that's not just, you're pretty good on a Spanish team. This is the MVP of the best league outside the NBA in the world. Like, that really, and he was 17.
Yeah.
To be the MVP of any league when you're 17 is a really big deal.
Out of control.
And the Spanish league is the second best league in the world.
Yeah.
Behind the NBA.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a really big. So people would say, Victor's really good. Actually, nobody would call him Victor. They'd say the French kid. He's this French kid, right? Like, he's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but until you see him in the States against what looks to be pretty good competition.
And the G League Ignite is that.
That's a good team.
Yeah.
Scoot
Henderson, any other year, is the number one pick.
The number
in the
one
draft.
Pick.
Yeah.
You know what?
By a mile.
Do you know what Richard Jefferson said on the jump today? Or not the jump, the NBA today?
NBA today.
Richard Jefferson said if Wembanyama and LeBron were in the same draft class, LeBron would go number two.
Well, it's.
Whoa.
Yeah. I listen, it's close. Like, to me, there have only been certain hype trains in the last 20 years in the draft. The most recent was Zion.
Yeah,
right?
Zion. And then Luka.
Luka too, but I don't even think because, I guess Luka too.
Yeah.
I'll give you Luka too. Then before that, you'd have to go back to like Durant and Odin when that was like a real discussion.
Yeah.
And then before that, LeBron.
Uh-huh.
So there's not a lot of people in that category of crazy draft hype that it can like literally be a story from September all the way, or now October, I guess, all the way till the draft in June.
I mean,
there's not a lot of those.
And there's also very rarely somebody who lives up to the hype and exceeds it.
Right. And he may be that.
He exceeded it.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was good. I didn't know he was 7 3-pointers good in a game.
And he's 7'4".
And he's 7'4".
Right.
Like, that doesn't seem like a real thing. Like, when you watch him move, it's like Kevin Durant and Giannis had a baby.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, he plays defense like Giannis and offense like Durant. And, oh, by the way, can dunk and hit 7 threes
and
in a game.
And block shots,
and
too.
And block shots.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he caught guys from behind.
You see the picture of him next to Gobert? Where he's towering
he
over Gobert?
Yeah. And by the way, if you're getting excited, you should, because he's going to be incredible. But I also, like, we were kind of joking, like, hey, should the Lakers, you know, injuries have been an issue? Here's the problem with that, Lakers fans. You owe a pick swap this year to the Pelicans. So even if you got the number one pick, it would be New Orleans.
When they traded for Anthony Davis, somebody in New Orleans said, we control their draft for the next 6 years. Yeah. This is what they mean.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you don't have the pick. You have a first round pick, but it's you have the right to swap.
Yeah.
You know, I saw somebody in the community suggest that this is a great sell to teams that want to tank for this guy. Hey, we'll give you Russell Westbrook. That's kind of got a point, you know? Kind of got a point.
Yeah.
Although,
good point.
You know,
it's a good point. I see where you're going.
I think if your team's like Indiana, you probably need to get rid of Heal. This actually helps the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? I'll explain that on the other side.
Okay.
We got to take a break.
All right.
This, even though you can get Wembanyama, there's still a way for the Lakers to come out like gold in this one.
By the way, what's going on here? This is a lot of sports.
Yeah, but we've had the Cappy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We're good.
All right. I was like, Sedano and Cap, we're talking a lot of sports.
Yeah. It's fine. But all right, so we'll get to that next, plus more nonsense, because that's what we do.
Michigas.
Yes, exactly. Michigas next. So we were talking about this week, Momo, Bruno Mars, and thank you, Christopher. I think one of the best performers, now it doesn't mean he's the best singer or whatever, he puts on one of the best shows I've ever seen. Where are you on Bruno Mars?
His Super Bowl show is one of the best shows ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. He's an incredible performer. Not a great singer. I mean, he's fine. You know what I mean? But he can put on a show. It's like him and Pitbull.
Yeah.
Pitbull knows how to shake it.
Look, I mean, whenever I go to
Why are you shaking your head, Laura?
No,
he does. He knows how to shake it.
I've seen him shake it.
So I'm kind of like one of those American Idol people. I watch a lot of American Idol
still.
Over the years. Yeah, still.
Yeah.
There was a couple of years I dropped out a little bit here and there. But some of what you realize is that the best singers oftentimes don't know how to perform. So the best singers like don't win, because when they get them in front of the studio audience, they're like deer in a headlight.
Yeah.
And when you see people like Bruno Mars or Pitbull, like who really know how to work a stage, you're like, oh. Like, what is it that separates him?
It's like when me, Mason, and Chris did the pony in here the other day.
Like that at all.
No?
No.
Mom was like, no.
What?
No. Not even close.
I don't even know how to describe to you. I was trying to be kind, okay? But, like, it's a little uncomfortable. It's a little like, three dudes are doing the weird pony up on the chair, and probably, I'm just trying not to look.
Yeah, probably not. Should have done that in retrospect. Sorry,
it's all right.
Sorry,
that's all right. I'm a grown woman. I don't care. But I'm like, it's not as, like, you guys don't look as cool as you think you do.
Yeah, well, we're old.
Ooh, Chris is going to take offense to that.
We're old, so there's that too. But yeah, Bruno Mars and Pitbull know how to own a stage.
Yeah.
Riri, too.
Oh, Rihanna.
She cannot sing that great, but damn.
Oh, goodness. That was Laura who said that.
Look, listen.
I think she can sing great.
Have you been around the Riri Navy? Are you familiar with the Riri Navy?
Are they kind of like the Beehive?
Oh, they're exactly like, but do not say that about them, because they'll come after you.
No, look, listen. Beyonce has, like, whoa.
The Beehive. Like, it is wild.
I have only ventured into the Beehive for one time.
But I think she overrated. Yeah. But Riri, I'm not saying she's a bad singer.
I think Rihanna's a better singer than Beyonce.
That was Lindsay. Be careful.
Lindsay.
I'm just going to make a point. You guys are talking about
baseball.
Performers and stuff.
Yes.
There's a tweet that was going around that went viral that was saying, basically, like, Beyonce's great and all, but, like, she has so many people on her team making her who she is.
Yeah, she's overrated.
As far as writing and producing and performing, that, like, at the end of the day, if you take all that stuff away, she's good. She's not amazing. She's good.
Adele's amazing.
At Lindsay Baseball Bayhawks. Not me. Okay.
He's like, Rihanna has a better voice. More unique.
So funny.
But here's the thing. There's a lot of people with like better voices than the biggest superstars
100%.
In the world.
Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys is amazing.
There's very few Christina Aguilera's.
Oh my God. Right. Awesome. Yeah.
Christina Aguilera is legit amazing gift from God voice.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of great singers who don't become big. Who don't become like superstars. Just having that natural gift from God doesn't mean
Agreed.
That you're going to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. You have to get the breaks. You have to get the right marketing.
100%.
You have to pick the right songs.
If anything, I think it's harder.
Perform. Yeah.
I think it's harder only because, to your point, everyone loves the flash and the sizzle. You know what I mean? So if you could do that really well, then you stick out.
And most of the time, like, I watch that. I mean, I keep going back to American Idol, but there's singers on American Idol that you're like, wow, yeah, you are an amazing, blows you away. Yeah. They don't win.
No, they don't. Real quick story about Riri Navy, and then we can get to how the Lakers can benefit from the Wembanyama sweepstakes. I'm doing Mike and Mike back in the day.
All right.
It was me and Chris Carter. And Big Baby Davis is supposed to be our guest at like 9:30 or something East Coast time.
Yep.
Comes in studio. You know, he's fresh off being the Celtic or whatever. And I guess now, I don't know, maybe he was back with him, whatever, wherever he was. But anyway, he came in studio. And he tells the story, some story about that was on TMZ about Matt Barnes allegedly and Rihanna. Okay, this is many, many, many years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
And Chris or I or somebody bring it up to him. And I don't remember which one of us is like, yo, that's your boy. You played in the Clippers with him. You know, like, what's up? And because the story was something to the effect of Rihanna doesn't even know who Matt Barnes is, right? Oh. Like, it was like a diss, you know?
Yeah.
And then Big Baby Davis was like, on air, on national television, she's like, man, she knew exactly. She knows exactly what's up. Like something like that. Like, she knows who he is, you know?
Yeah.
And we leave the show, okay? Half an hour later, he's gone. We leave the show. Momo, when I tell you an hour later, my Twitter, all I did was ask, like, what do you make of the story or whatever it was. And Twitter was like, she said she doesn't know him. Why can't she be? And I was just like, I'm sorry. I only asked the question because it was relevant to sports. I'm sorry. I'll go away now. Bye.
Go away.
Yeah. It was wild.
Those are choppy waters.
Yeah. I don't want to be in the Bayhive or Riri's Navy is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Telling.
I was in the Bayhive once.
Yeah.
When, do you remember at the Warriors finals game?
Yeah.
When Joe Lacob's wife sort of looked over.
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce to ask Jay-Z what he wanted for a drink or something
that. Yeah.
And the photo and the caption of it like killed her.
Right.
Like it just was like, who is this woman looking over Beyonce?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like ignoring Beyonce to ask Jay-Z what he wants to drink.
Right, right. Yeah.
And the Beehive was all over
it
her.
It was nuts. Yeah.
And it was really just the photo and the caption.
Yeah.
And I know Joe's wife, Nicole. Her name is Nicole Curran.
Yeah,
you
can
follow her.
She's at all the games.
Yeah, she's at all the games. Yeah. And if you're around the Warriors, you know her.
She like daps up all the ushers and stuff.
She wears fantastic outfits every game.
Yeah,
she's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice lady too. Really nice lady. And she was getting like death threats. Like people were like coming after her. She had to close her Instagram. She had to turn off the comments. Like she had to like just get out of the way. And I finally like said, I said, listen, what happened? And she kind of explained to me that like this was really like she had already asked Beyonce what she wanted or something.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just the way that at the moment they captured it, it made it look bad. But like.
Yeah.
They know each other. They've sat next to each other at many games. Like, she'd already asked Beyonce if she wanted something. Like, it really wasn't a slight.
Right.
It was just the way it got framed on social media. And so I was like, listen, you really should go on the record. You really should say what happened because it's not going to stop unless you do.
Agreed.
And so she did. And so I ended up sort of like running a bunch of quotes from her. And then the Beehive, like, I literally saw the, I don't know who runs the Beehive, but some of the administrators or people who have voices that matter in the Beehive were like, hey, I think we got this wrong, ladies. Like, we gotta turn this around.
Oh, my God.
And they kind of, like, exonerated her and said they were sorry and, like, got out of her mentions.
And that was
it. And that was it.
Yeah.
But
Swarm out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. The Hive moved on.
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that was a really interesting story to be in the middle of.
Yeah, yeah. It's a swarm of bees in
it.
Yeah. It's crazy. So this Wembanyama thing, I think, can help the Lakers. Here's my working theory, okay? If you're one of these tanking teams, you better get on it quick.
Yeah.
Because you would know this better than me.
Uh-huh.
My feeling is teams are going to be like, that guy's a once-in-a-generation, literally once-in-a-generation type player. He's an alien. We've never seen anything like him.
Uh-huh.
We need to get that. And everybody in the bottom four gets the same 14%. But the 5 through 9 also have, even though that percentage has increased since they changed the rule 4 years ago.
Yep.
And we've seen some of those teams jump. So we just got to be down towards the bottom because everybody's going to want that dude.
So Brian Windhorst was talking about this on NBA Today the other day with us. And he said, you know, and a lot of it is the offers for the Lakers. Like if you're one of those people who thinks that the Lakers should trade both first round picks right now to Indiana to go get Miles Turner and Buddy Hield.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Not two for those guys.
Right. Two for those guys. But also, that also gives the Lakers more confidence to wait. Because as I forget if it was Laura or Lindsay who pointed this out, like if you want to tank, maybe the best way is to trade for Russell Westbrook.
Right.
And either not play him.
Yeah.
Or play him. Yeah. I don't know, depending on what they want to do.
But you're also gutting your team in some ways.
And gutting your team.
Right.
And so the Lakers' leverage actually goes up.
Yeah.
The longer, because Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson are so good.
Right.
There's an incentive for more teams to tank.
Yeah, and by the way, just as an anecdote here, we kind of only glossed over how good Scoot Henderson is. Scoot Henderson not only would he be the number one overall pick in pretty much any draft for the most part, outside of maybe two or three, he's like legitimately one of the best guard prospects we've seen in over a decade.
Right.
Like, he's that good. Like, he's in that conversation.
He's like a John Morant to me.
Right.
Like, that's what he looked like.
He's in that conversation, a short conversation of, like, five guys that could be the best guys over the last 10 years drafted
right.
in
like,
that position.
When I watched him play, I thought, maybe a bigger John Morant.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, he's in the Luka John Morant category.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. Like, he's that good.
I don't know if he's Luka good.
No, but I'm saying, like, he'll be in the conversation of great players like that.
Yeah,
like,
he will.
Like, star-level players.
But Wembanyama, like... Oh, like I literally, I am not somebody who's usually blown away.
No, I'm blown away.
I was blown away.
Blown away. Because the YouTube didn't do it justice when I saw it on my screen, on my big screen. So here's what I would say. The Lakers, to your point, leverage goes up. And also, you probably need to call Indiana and be like, you want them really bad. We know you do. Just make the deal for the first and the second, and we'll make it fair. One and a two, right? Because that was what allegedly was offered for Hield and Turner. Something in that category.
Yeah, there's different versions I've heard, but
Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, there's just a different version. Like, it's also
But
hard.
I would do a one and a two. Like, if I'm Indiana, a one and a two for Hield and Turner, that's a good deal, I think, plus Russ and whatever needs to work.
I think it affects more. Like, if you're the Lakers, I think you can wait to make this decision because the larger picture is that, as you said, just having the worst record in the league doesn't mean you're going to get the number one pick.
Right.
And a lot of teams in that 5-9 range have moved up. So a lot of those teams in the 5-9 range, oftentimes they will try to make the play-in tournament, depending on what the conference
they're in. But if they're too far out, they'll trade.
If they're too far out, you really want to be in that 5-9 range. You're not going to try to hustle to make. Like last year, the Bulls were trying to make it.
Yeah.
Okay, so they make some trades and they try to improve themselves to make the play-in. Cleveland.
Right.
Teams that hadn't been in the playoffs in a while, it was important for them to try to make it. This year, maybe you don't kill yourself trying to make a play-in tournament.
Right, right. And you may trade away some of your guys. You may be a seller at the deadline.
A team like Oklahoma City is a good example.
Yeah.
They look like a team that, with Chet Holmgren, could make a jump this year that could...
Right, but he got hurt.
But he got hurt, so...
Right.
Maybe just one more year of tanking.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine those two on the same team?
Woo!
Holy moly. All right, coming up next... So, Momo, we've got a football conundrum around here.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to have to discuss. I know people want to hear us talk basketball together because we don't do it very often anymore. But it is Friday. We got to talk a little football on a Friday. So there's a football conundrum. I will explain said conundrum coming up in a second, plus what you need to know. Momo's in for Cappy, 710 ESPN.